Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
In this podcast, chat about the win against Watford, Mr. Inevitable, Let Air Laugh, Johnny Howson's new deal, and answer your podcast questions. This is the Borough Breakdown podcast, and this is live Borough Matchday Chatter in a pod.
Support. Curtis Fleming is there on the edge of the air. Fleming for Craig Hignett. Hit it, Higgy. Higgy hits the trap. Goal!
Abanelli coming alive again. Janino wants the ball played to him. Abanelli spots out.
Hello and welcome to the Borough Breakdown podcast with Johnny, Dana and Tom. We're the Borough podcast that gives you all of your Borough matchday chatter in a podcast. And Borough finished the season with a 3-1 win over Watford, leaving us on 69 points and finishing 8th place in the championship table. Dana Moult, what was your one key takeout on the game yesterday?
Probably just what a nice afternoon it was. Like, the atmosphere in the Riverside yesterday was really, really good. If you'd have dropped, not a football troglodyte, but somebody that is semi-aware of the game into the Riverside yesterday, they'd have probably thought there was something riding on that game. I thought the atmosphere was really good. And it felt like everybody was unanimously connected in one common feeling. And that was probably appreciation towards this team and how they've ended the season. And also hope for next season as well. So I can't wait for that hope to be completely wiped out by the inevitable sense of reality of supporting Middlesbrough Football Club. But all in all, really nice afternoon. Enjoyed it a lot. And yeah, the atmosphere was a real notable point of that game yesterday, I thought.
Yeah, it was for me. My key takeout as well was just what a lovely afternoon too. I really enjoyed it yesterday. Good win. And also it was just like nice to see obviously Law McCabe make his debut as well. James Wilson obviously came on too, and then just the overall, I think just the goals we scored were good, and I enjoyed it. It was just a nice wholesome day. And then Tom, what was your key takeout as well?
I think my key takeout, and taking this into next season as well, I'm starting to kind of feel that connection to the team that I had last year. It's taken a little bit longer with this team, but I think especially after Bangura's goal, you know, where the whole team, including Dieng, went up to celebrate with him. And, you know, we were playing some really good football at times yesterday, and we have been for, you know, the last 10 games or so. I think it's finally clicked for us, touch wood. And, yeah, we seem like more of a group now than we did before, in my opinion. We might have always kind of had that team spirit, but it was difficult to compare it to what we had the year before. And I think especially with that many injuries that we've had this season, that we've not really been able to kind of play a consistent 11. But as of yesterday, you know, we looked like a much more cohesive team. So hopefully we can carry that into next season, because the work starts now. We've got a really cohesive core of the team. We need some additions. I went to the Gibson Q&A a couple of weeks ago. I think it's already been kind of said on Flying to the Moon and stuff. But yeah, he was quite confident around next season and around our targets. So yeah, fingers crossed we can build on this season and take it into next season.
And also, Tom, I think we need to... Maybe it's one for next week on the season review show, but the prediction of we'll come good around March, April time and just miss out on the playoffs was a good one, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can get one right every blue moon or so. sadly, I couldn't get all the lottery numbers the other day. Won £2.50 back on the Euro Millions, but...
get in.
No, it wasn't good, Dana. I get an email in the morning saying, you've won a prize. I'm like, oh my God, I've won 130 million. And it's, £2.50.
£2.50.
Well, at least I was right about this.
I know, yeah, it's true. I mean, the Tom's bet that we ran for a few weeks, just, you know, no one ever won, so we decided to get rid of it, and we moved from there. But
I had Luke Thomas to score yesterday, so, my betting tips are not good.
I mean, I'm not going to lie, I didn't expect that. I didn't think he was going to score.
I was seeing pound signs when he got through one-on-one. It was like, right, put that away. Like, I'm in with a decent cash out here, but no.
Yeah, it was very much Jose Mourinho meme for me. It was where it was like very much when I was about to celebrate and when he messed up, I was about to lift my headphones up and just go, just throw it on the floor and like, I'm going to say.
Well, that Roy Hodgson meme where he's like, like he's looking around in anticipation for England to score. And then it's just that, oh, no.
Yeah, it was very upsetting, but he deserved the goal, I think, is what it is. But let's chat about the game then against Watford, because people who did score was Mr. Inevitable, Latte Laugh, Alex Bangura, which gave us a wholesome moment, and also Isaiah Jones as well, rounding off a 3-1 win. And then, Dana, how would you assess the performance yesterday against Watford?
I think we were good value for it in the end. The first half, I did notice where we were trying to play through Watford a little bit. Gilbert and Azaz probably the main culprits of trying to dribble through them and unfortunately losing the ball. But we did grow into the game and I think we started to hit them out wide instead. They were playing that 3-4-3 with the wing-back system and I really enjoyed seeing the way that Jones and Ayling in particular linked up on that right-hand side. I think we caused problems for Ken Semmer, their left wing-back, which is maybe in the end why he ended up coming off at half-time. And I thought our off-the-ball movement throughout the game was really good to enable us to basically exploit those spaces out wide and also come in central areas as well. And I know that Watford obviously equalised, and they did have a spell after that where it did look like they were growing into the game themselves. And I don't know whether this is just me personally, but I never felt nervous that Borough were going to lose, you know, the kind of advantage or lose the game or drop points from that. I kind of still maintain that confidence that we would get back into it. And we played good football at points as well in large spells of the game, actually. So it's just another game that gives me a lot of hope for next season. It was a very controlled performance from us and I just really enjoyed it in the end. It wasn't spectacular, it wasn't great, but it was good and it was efficient in the end in the second half. And I think one of the most enjoyable points of the game actually was, did you notice this? Emmanuel Latte-Lath got squared up to twice by Watford's big bruising centre-halves. It was Wesley Hoot first, and then Ciarelta had a go at him later on in the game as well. And you've got like these towering centre-halves and little Latte-Lath snapping at them, trying to get back the ball. Yeah, my dad described him as a bit of a wind-up toy that you kind of pull it, release it, and it just goes. That is very Latte-Lath. And he was trying to win the ball back, snapping at their heels a little bit. He was getting under their skin. I don't want to say rattled, because that's a very football Twitter way of describing that sort of situation, baiting out people for interactions on Twitter, but he was getting under their skin and I quite enjoyed that.
Yeah, I want to come to light laughing in just a moment, but Tom, I just wanted to see and hear what impressed you yesterday, to be honest, about Borough's performance.
Like I said, we just looked a lot more cohesive as a team, and it might be, I don't want to say it's the first time I've noticed it in the last 10 games or so, but we were able to, you know, put Lon McCabe in for his debut and have him not look out of place for the entire game. Bangura coming on and you know, fitting straight into the system. It gives me a lot of confidence and hope for next season. I don't want to get too carried away because I had that going into this season and then we ended up selling people in the summer and then we've had to refit people into the system. But it does seem that from what business we did last summer, I would say the majority of it has fit into the team now. There's still a couple of players who probably haven't lived up to their full potential from our summer incomings last year, but I think all in all, we've got a good core of the team, and we're starting to put some really good football together at times. And I think you guys were talking about this in the chat yesterday around Finazaz, and it might not have necessarily been one of his better games recently, but I think he's going to be absolutely instrumental next season, just based on how much of the players going through him at the moment. And I think that was something, especially in the first half of the season, we did lack a little bit. And that's not a knock on, say, Morgan Rodgers, because they're very different type of players. But it seems like Azaz was that piece of the puzzle that we were maybe missing in terms of getting this system working. So really looking forward to seeing what he can do next season, what Laf can do next season. I expect, after the preseason, unless Engel has an absolutely fantastic preseason, that Bangura is going to be able to start next season. Looking forward to seeing more from him. And yeah, overall, just looking forward to next season. I think now it's just transfer time, isn't it? Literally as soon as the full-time whistle went yesterday, back on Wanborough looking at what's going on. And yeah, just we've got work ahead of next season, but overall it's a lot to be optimistic about.
I was waiting for you to mention Wanborough and the transfer window thread, Tom. This is Tom time of the season where he just scours the internet for transfer rumours. But that's what we've got in the summer. Obviously we've got the Euros, but in terms of Borough, that's what we've got. We've got to look forward to all the links, and you know, Hayden Hackney's going to West Ham and he's in London having a medical, even though he's very much in Middlesbrough yesterday on the pitch with the players for the lap of appreciation. Why don't you go and make a rumour of Johnny, like Britta Sommerlonger to Crystal Palace, that type of rumour again, which somehow took off.
Yeah, that did take off, didn't it? Like many moons ago. Yeah, I mean, it was a very like Crystal Palace sign at the time as well. Like they were after, like, hit his profile and you know, someone who was able to get in the box. I thought, you know what? I'm just going to make the rumour up and just see what happens. And then Crystal Palace China, I think they got on it.
Yeah.
And then after Crystal Palace China, it was just like everywhere on it. And I was like, oh no, what have I done? Funny though.
That's how easy it is. How easy it is.
There's no sauce, is there? You know, just, did I say there was a sauce? I don't even know if I can remember it. But yeah, I just made it up and it was when. Yeah, like quite a lot of people retweeting it, but it was an interesting one. But yeah, who knows? Anyone could come in the summer. You know, I seen Ronaldinho in a Pally Park the other week, so I think he's coming. Now. He's going to come out of retirement and come play for the Borough. But you know, overall, I thought it was good yesterday as well. I was really impressed with us. I thought we played some really good stuff. We were able to create plenty of chances, which is something that we've continued to do under Michael Carrick, and it's been really impressive. And I thought it made Watford look pretty average from start to finish. I felt like they were on the beach, as a cliche says. But it's why does it always have to be a beach? I don't know why. What can it be like a weekend away? I don't know.
Why does it have already to be? On the city break?
Yeah, they could be on a city break. They could be on like climb Mount Kilimanjaro. They could be doing anything. You know what I mean? Why does it have to be a beach? You know that why? I want answers. Maybe I ask Adam Hurrier football cliches and say, why does that be a beach? And
football cliches getting a lot of airtime on this pod recently, aren't they? Borough Breakdown sponsored by Football Cliches.
We've been enjoying it, haven't we? We've been enjoying a couple of their episodes. But I want to chat about Watford really quick, Tom, and then I'll move on to Laf. But thoughts on them, because they've had a really tough mess season. When I was on Do Not Scratch Your Eyes this week, they were just like, I cannot wait for this season to end. You don't even understand. So they're pretty miserable. So thoughts on them at all?
I thought they were just a bit average, to be honest, and it was not what I was expecting. I've got a few Watford fans on Twitter, having been on some of their podcasts before, and from the sounds of it in the last couple of months when they've appointed Tom Cleverley as interim manager and then ultimately their manager/head coach, it seemed like things were improving for them. And I think they still showed signs yesterday that, you know, they're good on the ball and they can put some decent passing movements together. But there was a point during the second half I was like, why am I even nervous about when they go forward? Because I don't think they've even had a shot on target yet. Like, it could have been that the Mans were already on their city breaks at the end of the season, but yeah, they just looked pretty average and not really up for it, I will say. Whereas I do think we still kind of had that mentality that every game's important. We want to go out on a high and give the fans something to cheer about in the last game of the season. So ultimately, our mentality going into that game seemed to be better. But yeah, I think from what Watford have, they might improve for next season. But it's kind of hard for me to say off that performance, because, like I said, they had some good spells, but then ultimately weren't really doing a lot with it.
Mm. They've got a lot of work to do, haven't they, in the summer, Watford? I think to get back to where they should be, really high in terms of budget and player salaries. But, well, in terms of like budget-wise, it should be top six, maybe. I think there's a minimum, but it's just where they're currently at the moment is far below par. But they'll come again, probably, Watford. They always do. But let's move on. Let's chat about Lattie Laff, shall we? Because he had a great week this week, because he got Player of the Month in the Championship. The last Borough player to get that was Tuba Akpom. He was scoring goals at the time. Lattie Laff is scoring goals now, 18th of the season. Mr. Inevitable, isn't he? But what do we even say at this point? Because he's just been absolutely amazing over the last few weeks, hasn't he?
I think it's exactly that, Mr. Inevitable. Matt said it last week. You said it at the top of the pod. I was waiting for that Lattie Laff goal. I was expecting that Lattie Laff goal. And I was expecting it because of his form. 11 goals in his last 12 games. It's an incredible run of form, and something that I think maybe did elude him earlier on this season, because it just looked like he lacked that composure in front of goal. We said the word erratic a few times, and I don't think that was necessarily wrong, but he's worked hard to get himself back fit, because obviously his season, much like many other players in this squad, has been punctured by injuries, and he's managed to work himself into a really good bout of form. And I've absolutely enjoyed it. Like, I've absolutely loved it. I didn't expect this. I must admit, I thought Lattie Laff would end on maybe 11 goals. He'd get double figures, but he's, you know, 18 in all competitions, 2 off 20. Like, that's an incredible debut season in the Championship. And I really hope that it continues next season, because if so, we've got one hell of an asset there in Lattie Laff, a really good striker, adding that clinical edge to his game. He's already a joy of fun up front, because he never stops running. He's a good pressing forward, actually, as well, because he's constantly trying to win the ball back from when we first lose it. So he's that first part of press. Yeah, he's very versatile in his movement around the box, but also just around the team in general. I think he links up well with his teammates. I think we're seeing a good dynamic between him and Jones and Ayling as well, so that's something to keep in mind for next season. If we do keep Ayling, what that partnership between the three of them is going to be like, because if you're Lattie Laff, you're very excited to have somebody like Luke Ayling with his deliveries, and also if you're Lattie Laff, you're very excited to have Finn Azar playing behind you as well. So everything's just blossoming really well at the moment collectively, but Lattie Laff in particular, what a end to the season he's had. I've really enjoyed his journey and kind of, yeah, riding that wave with him as a fan.
Just to add on about Lattie Laff as well, what I've really enjoyed from him, especially on his good run of form, but generally in the season, is his ability to score goals from, you know, pretty much anywhere or any different type of goal. He's got a really good vertical leap on him, but he can read the ball really well when it's in the air. So headers sorted. That one he scored against, I think it was QPR, where the ball just kind of like bounced up to him. It looked like a kind of side-footed volley, but like into the far corner of the net. Like, obviously, early in the season, he hadn't quite found his finishing boots yet. I think he missed some like 5 one-on-ones against QPR or something. Or like, God, what is it going to take for him to finish a chance? But he's got such a range on him in terms of the goals that he scores. And that's also going to be valuable in terms of him as an asset up front, in that he could probably even finish half chances. We don't even need to put it on a player for him. He could do, you know, things himself. You know, you look at the goal he scored against Leeds, where he just dribbles across the box and power shots it in like a FIFA goal or something like that. You know, he can do things himself and he can put away half chances. So really looking forward to seeing what's still to come from him next season.
I think you saw it yesterday with the first goal. The cross is kind of behind him, so he has to take a couple of steps back to kind of create this distance between him and Sierra Alta. And he manages to get the ball, and you know, it was never a clean strike, let's be honest, but he still manages to hit the ball in at the ground and in the back of the net. And yeah, it's that movement. I think he's very intelligent in knowing where he needs to be when the ball's delivered into the box, and that's a very good trait to have.
Yeah, I would say as well, like when we did the initial lowdown on him as well, Dana, I still have that belief of if you give him all the time in the world, he'll miss and won't be as good. But when he is most clinical is where he doesn't have to think about it. It's just an action, or he has to do something in the moment. And that's where most of his goals, I would say, really came from. Bar that Leeds one where he's had to like dribble a little bit in fan space and get a shot away. This one, again, yesterday, it's very much instinct. And although he hasn't hit it 100% clean, I think if you do hit it really clean in that moment, you actually probably hit it wide. But he's got it right, and we've gone ahead, and he's just been brilliant to watch. And when his pressing's really good, he likes to harry defenders. And we all know, you were saying earlier, Dana, he's like a little bit of a whippersnapper, and he just gets on their ankles and he hits people, hate it. So that's what you want from a striker, because it all starts from them. It's more like, I think last year wasn't as strong in comparison to what this year is. I know when we had Cameron Archer and Akpom, we weren't as good at pressing. But with Akpom, it just, sometimes when you press really well, it can create problems. And the way that teams are trying to play out from the back now, when you do get it wrong, you create bigger chances. And I think if we can do that even more with Laielaf, then that's brilliant for us. But Tom, would you like to see Laielaf as a sole striker next year, or would you like to see him with a partner next year and see Borough develop the game even further?
I don't think you change anything from the system that's been working recently. I think you just kind of keep him as that sole striker. Like you were saying just then about his press, and he leads it well, but he's also quite intelligent in the way that he does it. Yeah. You look at some of the presses he was doing yesterday, and when that press has been triggered, he'll go and cut the passing lane, which it seems simple, but you can go and watch a match and think, why is that player not cutting a passing lane when he's pressing? They'll maybe chase the ball like a headless chicken, but not actually achieve anything with the press. But he does do that, and he scored, 11 goals, did you say earlier, in this system as it's been playing at the moment? So I don't think you change that.
Yeah, I don't think you do either. And you know what's really interesting as well about Laielaf? I think at the start of the season, he was missing those big chances, underperforming his numbers, which collectively Borough have been throughout 45 games of the season. We were actually underperforming our expected goals, which was really interesting for us. And we were top for biggest chances for a while, in terms of creation, but we just weren't putting them away. In terms of those misses as well, we were acting in the top three for missed too. So for us to be underperforming and then to finish the season overperforming, it kind of does prove that data does really balance out eventually. Underlying them is a good thing to look at when you're trying to get some more context on there. But you know, under Carrick, Dana, we've really been a chance creation team, which we've never really seen before for a Borough side, to be honest. Like, consistently creating chances. I know, well, we have seen it probably in the past. Obviously, Robson, we were a good side. McLaren, it was kind of like a bit like in and out, even though we had the quality to do it, to create the chances and individual brilliance. You know, Karanka was very much more controlled. But this team seems like it can just create chance after chance after chance after chance, and it's really, really good. But next year is the most important thing for Borough to continue to convert the chances they create. Is that like the next step that Borough need to get themselves into the promotion places?
Yeah, of course. I think it goes without saying, I will never take Borough creating chances for granted. And so I really appreciate that about this team. But sometimes you just can't have everything, can you? And there will always be that shortcoming, and Borough's shortcoming this season has been at times putting the ball in the back of the net when we really should. We've missed quite a few notable sitters. Jones at Huddersfield, Silvera as well. Was at Coventry, yeah. There's a couple more as well. Like, that's been our problem at times this season, and that's the difference really between no points and a couple more on the table. So I absolutely think that's the next thing to do. With Laielaf in good form, hopefully he can continue that next season to make that difference. But it's funny actually, because someone in our comments on YouTube, a Leeds fan, it was in the comments of the Leeds preview, somebody, a Borough fan, predicted 3-1, and the Leeds fan was like, have you ever scored 3 goals this season? And funny enough, since that, we've scored 3 goals in all of the 3 games since, including obviously against Leeds. And granted, we didn't win that game, but still. So yeah, if that Leeds fan can scurry on into our comments again and say that next season, we might just be scoring loads of goals at the beginning of next campaign. But yeah, it's very straightforward, isn't it? At least to say that we need to put the ball in the back of the net more when we create these chances, because we do, and we create really good chances as well. It's just been a problem of ours that at times we haven't been able to put the ball in the back of the net. If only that kind of data difference and kind of almost reverting back to the expected could have come about 2-3 months ago, then that maybe would have pushed us, propelled us into that top six. But unfortunately, it's come a bit too late.
Yeah, and it was similar to Burnley last year, where they weren't creating much, but they were massively overachieving. They were able to score goals from different angles. But what helps you get your numbers up is someone who can create a lot of chances. And we spoke about Luke Ayling a couple of weeks ago, and on his lowdown video as well, I mentioned that he is definitely a player that will give and go and get the ball in the box. And it'll be a similar theme to Giles, where last year we were able to get the ball out wide and get the ball in the box. And now there is still a bit of chalk and cheese in terms of delivery, I would say, because I think Giles has a better delivery than Ayling. But Ayling got his 8th assist in 13 games, and yesterday he was really, really good. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm starting to maybe do a 180 on Luke Ayling, whether it should be a permanent signing in the summer. And it was mentioned on BBCT as well that a deal could potentially be close. Now, a lot can change. Remember when Shea Given was going to sign and then went to Stoke? You know, remember when Diego Forlan was going to Borough and then went to Manchester United? Now, there's a lot of things that we can talk about here. A lot of examples, but how do we feel about it? Do we think that Luke Ayling should be at Borough next season?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see the case for it. 8 assists in 13 games is a great return from a defender as well. And you can see, as you alluded to earlier, he's got a good connection with Jones and also Latelaf, brings good experience to the team. I could absolutely get on board with Luke Ayling coming back next season. So my only one, not gripe with it or anything like that, my one kind of note is we definitely do need a right back for the long term, unless we've got someone that we're keeping an eye on in the academy or something like that. We need to make sure that we are sorted for the long term, because I don't want to say Ayling's old, or recent Borough Breakdown podcast guest Tommy Smith's old or anything like that. But in football terms, they would be kind of close to the end of the career. So we could do with someone a lot younger just to kind of build. And if they've got Ayling and Smith to learn from as they're trying to fit into this system, then that would be obviously preferential as well. But I think for next season, if we go into it with Ayling and Smith as our right-back options, I'll generally be quite happy with that.
I think that was probably my reason as well against signing Ayling, because he'll be 33 by the time the next season rolls around. And then you've got Tommy Smith, who's recently turned 32. I think just so that Borough if Borough are trying to avoid chopping and changing that right-hand side in the transfer window, I think it would be beneficial to kind of almost plan ahead and bring in that right-back that can be our right-back for the next 3 or 4 seasons. Because I think we'll be looking for that anyway within the next 1 to 2 seasons with Luke Ayling and Tommy Smith as our right-back options. However, one of the big lessons learned from last season is player retention. And I think the best thing that Borough can do in the window is try to keep as much of this squad together as possible. And with Ayling, we're seeing a lot of good things on that right-hand side. Zai Jones really benefits from having players that he can combine with. He's combining really well with Luke Ayling. We saw that probably most notably yesterday against Watford. So that really benefits him. And then, as I said, with Latelaf, I think he would really enjoy having a player like Luke Ayling who can ping those balls into the box for him. So I want to see the retention of that right-hand side. We've already started to see that build-up of connections there. I don't see any reason why we would move away from that to bring somebody younger in. I know it's a very short-term focus, but I do see the upside to it, just because of we're seeing these connections now. Retain those connections, develop them further next season, and then we've got a really strong right-hand side there in theory. So I would quite like to see Luke Ayling sign for us permanently. And yeah, as he said on BBC Tees yesterday, things are pretty close.
Yeah, and with that as well, you know, like when he first came in, I thought, good, solid signing, bit of experience. Do I expect it to be a permanent one? Probably not. I don't really think Luke Ayling thought it was going to be a permanent signing either when he first arrived, but no one could have imagined the impact he's had as a player and contributing for Boris scoring goals. I really like this connection on the right-hand side. It definitely reminds me of the Crooks, Jones and Dyke Steele triangle for under Chris Wilder, and I actually mentioned that in the lowdown as well, where the combinations will really work well for him, and it's nice to see that come true, and also for him to get the assists for Laiolaftu, and if and when Marcus Forss comes back up front, then we've got the opportunity there to score more goals on that right hand side, and also become really really clinical as well. But let's see what the deal happens with him. Would it be a one-year rolling? Could it be a two-year? Who knows? But sometimes you have to have players for the now, and he is a player for now, and we might have to look ahead maybe in 12 months, which is not always a bad thing. Players can become available. Players have 12 months more of development. You can always bring a player in who's a bit younger, get them back out on loan and have them much more of a longer-term signing. But it's really interesting to see how it comes up. We also don't know how well Tommy's going to come back after his injury as well, and how back up to speed he's going to be, because he's not going to be back until about August. So yeah, I think if we were to be able to keep him, then great, and if we were to go to the market again, then let's see. But I kind of want to dial the clock back a little bit, because we talked about a 33-year-old there, but we're going to move and talk about 17-year-old now in Law McCabe, because he made his full debut yesterday. Dan, how do you think he did?
I really enjoyed his performance. I don't think he stood out, but that's not a bad thing. I think it's actually a good thing, because it meant that he fit into the team like a glove. Like, he did not look out of place whatsoever. And I was talking to Maddo about this after the game, and we were kind of going back and forth and saying that he's very like Hayden Hackney. Very like Hayden Hackney in that he shows his personality in his game. Against Cardiff, very confident. He was playing in that midfield position in which the way that Borough play, if you lose the ball, we're in trouble. But Law McCabe didn't seem overawed by that. He didn't seem pressured by that. His performance was weightless, I would say, against Cardiff and yesterday against Watford. I think it was a good display that I really like to see from him. He looks like a very assured, composed midfielder, technically good. Yeah, I have nothing bad to say about his performance. It was really good to see him start and get as many minutes as he did as well. So credit to Carrick for that, because I actually wasn't expecting any of our young players to start. Law McCabe got his opportunity and yeah, he did well with it.
Yeah, and do you know what? He just kept it really simple. And I think that's what you just do. I think when you're that age and you're trying to break through in the teams, there's nothing wrong with just play the way you face and look for the next easy pass and just keep the movement there, just keep it ticking, and then hopefully you'll create the space and create better chances and you'll grow in confidence. And that's all you want from a player, to develop, really. And if we can continue to do that with him, then that's brilliant. But Tom, where do you think he's going to be next year? I know it's very early to say that in terms of development-wise, but what do you think his next logical step is, given that he looked fairly comfortable in a Borough shirt?
I think it's hard to say without having seen what he's like in training, or obviously not watched any of the under-23s games this season, so I don't know what he's played like in those. I think it was in our Josh Walker pod where he was saying it's not always the best move for a player to go out on loan. So potentially it might be worth him staying, training with the first team squad, getting the occasional chance, but mainly playing under 23s. Or if we're thinking it's going to be more beneficial for him to be out on loan, I'm sure there's probably clubs like at a decent level that would probably take him as well. So yeah, it's one that's hard to answer without knowing the behind-the-scenes stuff, but with either one of those, he'd probably fare quite well.
I don't think he's under any pressure to go out on loan, is he? He's 17, so I think Tom's spot on there. I think keeping him in and around the senior matchday squad when necessary, and also just letting him continue his football, continue his natural line of development. Like, he's such a young lad, I don't think there's necessarily a need for him to go out on loan next season, so yeah, sometimes is what's been referenced there. I think Phil Foden is probably the biggest example of this. He's probably the most superlative example of this because, you know, it's Phil Foden, but, you know, he's playing under Pep Guardiola. But sometimes, you know, relative to our level, sometimes the best thing that can happen is that they're just allowed to kind of develop in and around the first team. And Johnny Howson's a really good player to kind of learn under as well. And Hackney as well. Hackney has recently gone down the same path that Law McCabe is probably hoping to go down as well. So I think for now, best thing that can happen for him is for him to stay here and just develop quite naturally in the under-23s and under-18s.
Yeah, and I think that if he was to go out on loan, I would like to see him go to a possession-based team, probably like an MK Dons, who are really comfortable on the ball right now and they create similar chances to what Borough create. But other than that, I kind of agree, it's quality rather than quantity in terms of minutes. And we've definitely seen that over the years. Wayne Rooney's probably another example where he played thousands more minutes than everyone else. And by the time he went to Everton, he was pretty much burnt out and finished 32. But we'll chat about someone who is completely not burnt out at all. And Johnny Howson, because he signed a new deal this week. 1 year extension. How do we feel about it, Tom? Good deal?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about Lattie Laugh being Mr. Inevitable, but I feel like it's Howson every season at the moment because it's like, oh, will he get a new contract? Will he not? He's always going to get a new contract. Yeah. And he shows no signs of slowing down. I think I was reading Half a Gazette on Northern Echo. Apologies to either of the writers who will be listening to this, but they described him as evergreen. And I completely agree with that. Like I say, he shows no sign of running out of legs. And, you know, in terms of our midfield, he's really been a vital part of it. So, yeah, I'm more than happy that he's signed a new deal for next season.
Dana, happy with it?
Yeah, going back to what I discussed in regards to Luke Ayling, player retention, happy to see Howson stay because he's a big part of our midfield. And I think we don't need to replace him. He's right there. So I'm happy. I think Johnny Howson will be here forever, to be honest. He'll just be ambling out of the walls in like 2036 or something. And it's like, oh, there's Johnny Howson. He's still here. But I'm happy for that because, yeah, he's still performing at a good level. And yeah, as Tom said, he's a vital part of this team.
Very much Mr. Burns, nuclear power plant. You're here forever.
Yes.
To Johnny Howson. Yeah. What type of role do you think you'll have next year, Tom?
Centre midfield, I hope. Honestly, don't know. That depends on the long-term planning of the club. I know a month or two ago we were linked with a midfielder. I couldn't tell you his name. I think it was like Gruev or something like that. I don't know if he's an actual target. But it does, if those kind of rumours are starting off, then I think we are looking towards a centre midfielder for next season. Whether or not we're going to be looking at a starting midfielder and maybe playing him and Hackney, or you know, even if Howson kind of maintains his position next season, I still, it would be fine because he, like I say, he looks as young as ever. But I think it depends on the long term plan for the team. And if there is someone we want to bring in to play in that midfield, maybe bring them through gradually. Howson might start the season, but obviously Howson, as much as he's getting a 1 year extension every year, probably isn't the long term solution to that centre midfield spot. So yeah, I suppose we'll wait and see for that one.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Someone who's not going to probably be at the club next year is Paddy McNair. You know, after 200 games, six seasons at the club, it looks like he's going to leave in the summer. Then, like, how would you reflect on Paddy McNair's time at the club? Because he played pretty much in every single position possible apart from goalkeeper. and he's been quite consistent, but how would you reflect on it?
Yeah, it's a shame actually that he's leaving to not much noise, because I think Paddy McNair has been quite a trustworthy servant for us over those six seasons. I remember there was a point where he just kept playing, like he played every minute for Borough. Then he'd go away to Northern Ireland and play every minute for them. There was one point where Ian Barraclough played him three times in 5 days. Then he had to come back to Middlesbrough and start for us under Neil Warnock. It was ridiculous. But his availability, his versatility, and I think his performance level as well have all been utilised throughout his time here. But it probably is, it definitely is the time to move on. He doesn't get into Borough's midfield and he's probably fifth choice centre back. But yeah, Paddy McNair has been a good servant for us and I do wish him well. It's a shame that we haven't fetched a fee for him, though, let's be honest. But it is probably time for us to part ways, I think.
Yeah, like, probably open question, really. Where do you think he's gonna end up?
Sheffield United.
Stoke.
Yeah.
Rangers.
Rangers are a shout.
He's a Rangers Sheffield fan, United. I think.
Is he? Interesting. Mm. But I quite like the Sheffield United shout as well, though, from Tom. To be honest, like, it's, you know,
I think Wilder it said makes sense. Wilder liked him. Sheffield United coming down. From what I think I've read and heard, I don't think they're going to have that much budget next season. So free signing would make sense for them. So, yeah, just kind of fit.
Yeah, it does. It definitely fits in our head, doesn't it? I think so. Either Sheffield United or Rangers. But you don't know. If anyone's listening has an idea of where Paddy McNair might go, leave it in the comments. But should we move on? Should we do some podcast questions? Yes, podcast questions. Every week you get the chance to ask us a question via Twitter, Borough_breakdown, email theborroughbreakdown@hotmail.com, or by joining our Telegram chat with over 400 Borough fans, chatting everything but Borough. And the first question we've got is from Olivia, and it's in from our Telegram chat, and she asks, outside of the relegation teams, which will be our biggest threats for promotion next season? Tom, do you want to answer this one?
I'm preparing for our YouTube comments to be flooded with them here, because you say the names and they appear, but Coventry.
Joe Hendry, that.
Yeah, Joe Hendry's going to be in our YouTube comments as well, I'm sure. But I can see Coventry kind of still being there. They've maintained a very similar trajectory to us. Finished below us, which obviously we're quite happy about still. But I think with them as well, it's kind of taken a similar amount of time for them to click, other than the times where the player does. I feel like they will maintain that similar trajectory next season and kind of be very close to us on the table.
Yeah, Dylan, do you have any teams in your mind?
I was going to say Coventry as well. I think they'll be the new Derby County in that when we're up there, they'll be up there too. We've already seen it, of course, last season. But they're a smart club. They recruit very well. I don't envisage that changing this summer. I do think they'll bring in some good signings and strengthen further. And of course, they've got a fantastic manager under Mark Robbins. So I think Coventry.
Yeah, obviously there's the teams that are currently already in that playoff spot as well. Like, you know, Southampton could be the one who probably maybe stay down, or Leeds. You know, you got. I don't think Norwich will be as strong next year. I think there's West Brom if Kyle Scarborough stays. Do you know what I mean? If he goes, then I feel like West Brom, you know, if he stays, then great. If not, then see you later. But it's interesting. next question is from Andrew, and he asks, are there any players from the relegated sides who've just been relegated from the Championship you'd like to see at Borough next season? Daniel?
I only really saw Thomas of Huddersfield, to be fair, just for his set-piece deliveries. And I know that's not the full picture of why set-piece delivery ends up in the back of the net, because you've still got to have that good movement and, I guess, a good routine in the box and somebody to get their head or their foot or their ass on the end of the corner or the free kick. But I think he would be a good pickup. I quite like Miyoshi from Birmingham as well. He plays on that right-hand side, but there's no one really in positions that I think we might benefit from having strengthened, like right-back or striker, that stand out for me from those relegated sides.
Okay, then we'll move on, and this keeping with the transfer theme, really. It's from Aki, and they ask, what should Borough's recruitment strategy be in the summer? Would you focus on trying to bring the unknowns from foreign leagues or proven quality at this level? Danny, you didn't mention earlier trying to keep the squad together, but outside of that, what do you think the strategy should be? I'll come to you both on this one. It'd be good to hear your thoughts on it. But Dan, I'll come to you first.
Yeah, I mean, selfishly, I love it when Borough brings someone in that's unknown. It's like opening a mystery pack of cards or like a mystery football shirt. Like, ooh, what are we going to get? So I love learning about them, reading about them, watching them, just getting to know them a bit more. But I do think that we could benefit from having players in the Championship or players from the Championship that can probably take to the season a little bit quicker. We did see with players that we brought in from overseas in the summer, they did take time, like Latte Lath, actually. They did take time and Rav a little bit as well to really start to show what they're capable of. Admittedly, with Rav, it didn't take too long, but with Latte Lath, it took longer. So I think you can always have that with players. Some of them will take to the team straight away because their quality is just there immediately, but oftentimes it does just does take a few months for them to get really embedded into the team, the system, the new style of play, the new country, essentially. So I do think that Borough could benefit more from having players that have kind of not been there and done it in the Championship, but that passover from team to team might just be a little bit smoother. And I think Tom might have mentioned it a couple of podcasts ago about that very thing of just having players that have played in the Championship before so that, yeah, that transition can be a little bit smoother.
Tom, got any thoughts on this one?
No, I mean, I completely agree with Dana on that one. I think with the signings that we made this season, like there's no set time frame of when a player is going to adapt to this league. For me, Rav did it the fastest. Matt Olaf took a little bit longer to completely click in the team. Gilbert, only the last few games, has really started to show what he can contribute. And then there's some players I would say still haven't quite clicked. You know, I don't think we've seen, you know, anywhere near, I don't say his best because I don't know if it's his best or not, but Sammy Silveira, like he looked exciting when he came in, and I don't think he's contributed to that same level. There's questions over whether or not he would be good enough for next season, but potentially he clicks next season, and then, you know, it's taken him a year and a half to do that. So if we're buying five or six players, I would hope that the majority of them would be experienced. And what I would say as well, the free agency market in the Championship this season is actually looking pretty good for experienced players and players who can contribute something. So that's potentially players we can pick up with no transfer fee, although, you know, likely they might demand a higher sign-on fee, so it might be more like a transfer in that respect. But there's players there who we don't have to go through the process of negotiating with a club for that could potentially add to our squad and make an impact straight away.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's just all about adding in the right areas. And, you know, like you said there, Tom, the free agent market's really good this year. And the Championship, there is, of course, globally, there's free transfers available. And we'll just see how it all ends up for Bora. We've got some really good additions to make. And in terms of the Savara thing, yeah, as well, like some players can take a bit of time. Still 9 goal contributions this year, which is still okay, but we want to see more of that next year, and depends where he'll be next year. Who knows? But last one question we've got is from Jordan. He says, Sam Greenwood in with a shout of a permanent contract at Borough. Of course, Borough do have the option to sign Sam Greenwood for $1.5 million if Leeds don't go up. If they do go up, then, you know, be a different type of fee if we were to sign him permanently. But do you think that we'll sign him? Because personally, no. I don't think we will. I personally, yeah. No. And Dynamalt, no, I'm assuming. No. Not. There we go. That was an easy question. Thank you very much, guys, for your questions each week. But let's move on to the praise and place. The place we like to give praise. Ah, yes, the praise and place. The only place we like to slag every single player off. I've wanted to do that all season, but let's see who's in our praise and place this week. This is the place, of course, where I do give praise to a player, coach, or staff member, the fan, or whatever we want to give praise to. Like our Korean chips yesterday, then I thought was absolutely banging. But Tom, I'm going to come to you first. Who's in your praise and place this week?
I'm going with, player-based picks this week. Latte Laugh for his incredible run of form and scoring again yesterday. And I'm also going to put Luke Ayling in there. 2 assists yesterday, 8 since he's came in 13 games. That is such a great return on the right-hand side. Like you said earlier, it's 3 under what Giles had last season. So to get that sort of impact from someone that we all kind of thought was just going to be like a solid sign and to see us through at the end of the season is great. And as we said earlier, if that permanent contract is close, he's deserved it.
And for you, Dana, who's in your praise and place?
I'm going to tell you what's not in my praise and place. My bloody chair. If people are watching us on YouTube and put this podcast in 2x the speed, you'll gradually just see me slide down the screen. I mean, I might as well just like do my podcast on the floor for the rest of the episode. I actually can't believe what's going on. But I'm going to praise 2 moments in the game, actually. So the first one is Sam Greenwood's lovely footwork in the build-up to Bangura's goal. That deserves immense credit because that was what essentially created that piece of skill, that piece of footwork created that space for him to be able to put that ball into the box and deliver that ball for Bangura just before he nearly got his neck broken by Latte Laugh in the celebrations. So I really want to praise Greenwood for that because I thought it was a really quality piece of play. And then I really want to praise Alex Gilbert's tackle. Bio threw on goal, thought he was going to at least get a shot off, and in the end he doesn't because Alex Gilbert steals in there, intercepts the ball, and then just gets up as if he didn't just do that and heads back where he came from. So that was a very nonchalant sort of really vital piece of defending there from Gilbert. So I want to mention that as well as I sit on the floor.
Yeah, as you sit on the floor, where was the celebration though, Gilbert? Where was the tackling?
I know.
Get the crowd up. I don't know.
They usually have like a celebratory high five with the goalkeeper, don't they? But he just literally got up, turned around, and walked back. Like nothing happened.
He's just doing his job. Just doing his job. You know, he's just
the central defender that is. Yeah, the recovering centre half.
Just doing his job, you know, doesn't need any praise for that. But Alex Gilbert was really good yesterday. I enjoyed his performance. He's I can see flashes of quality with Gilbert. He shows the little Gilbert what we talk about. But yeah, look, I still think he's got some development to do, whether that's us next year or whether we send him on loan. But for me, he's give Carrick a nice thing to think about out over summer. What do you want to do with Alex Gilbert? And, you know, it's taken him a bit of time, but I think he deserves a bit of praise again. Luke Ayling, for me, brilliant yesterday. Fantastic signer for us, but also fantastic performance. And Lom Kim, I think, deserves a bit of praise. And also Wilson as well, who was Boris 999th player to play for us as well. So congratulations to him as well. It's a massive achievement. But a lot of praise, I think, for everyone, I think. And then praise probably towards the fans too for making a great atmosphere yesterday for the last day of the season. But guys, that's it. It's not our last podcast of the season, of course. We've got the season review show next week where we'll break down Borough's season in detail and do the ins, the outs, the ups, the downs of what Borough's season was. But as it was May the 4th yesterday, I thought, you know what, since it was Star Wars Day, Light at Last Strikes Back, Borough winning 3-1, and we'll be back next week with our season review show. But for right now, this has been the Borough Breakdown podcast, and that was our Borough Match Day chat in a pod. Up the Borough Breakdown.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.